Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
And Gilly has done it for me. How's it going, folks? See you again. I'm joined by Smarty and Gilly. How are you doing, boys?
Not bad.
Good stuff. We've all had
very well, thank you. Very well.
Good. We've all had a few technical difficulties, but we've managed to get this show on the road.
When you
no,
say
no,
all.
It's fine. You can see it's me.
When you say all.
All right, well,
I'm like, the only I one have... who hasn't had to log out and log back in, by the way.
But you did have an issue with your AirPods, so you
I
know.
Was just about to say, you know,
yeah.
We all meshed up today, but anyway, I'll roll this and we'll see you in a second.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Or some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
You tentacle play it a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
It's great the way that I mentioned it on the pod on Sunday, how Jay's nothing spectacular really has turned into something really spectacular over the last couple of months, isn't it? I'm actually quite liking that. So you're doing well, lads?
Yeah, not bad, mate.
Magic.
You're good.
Steady away. How,
your Tuesday's been okay, stress-free for the most part?
No, absolutely not.
It's never stress-free, is it?
Absolutely not. But, you know, you crack on, don't you? You make the best of it as you can.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that anyway, you know. I was on the pod on Sunday with Jay. We had little Will on there as well. And he went down a treat. Fair play to him. He was a good lad. And it was good old crack having him on. But we were there to talk about the game. And quite frankly, I thought it was... bit of a mad performance down in the rain. They get more rain than we do by the sounds of it, by the looks of it. Like, Gilly, what was your overall view on the first half anyway? We'll start there just real quick.
Yeah, I thought, you know, we'd seen nothing spectacular really. And I think it's just gone 3-1 Ipswich.
Chuffing it.
So it was one of those where. We've talked about efficiency before and about, you know, some have said how it's not particularly exciting because we're being professional about it and we're being efficient and we're just going out and getting the job done. I think it carried on in that vein. It felt very much like we'd rocked up. We knew we were going to win. We didn't underestimate them. We just knew that we were going to win. We went out and did what we needed to do. And I think in that first half, I think you saw that they just can't really hold the candle to us. I know that they're not their danger man, 17 goals, but their main focal point in attack didn't start the game. And you look at that and you think, well, neither is ours because Bamford's not there. But at the same time, that hurts them a lot more than it hurts us, just on pure principle of what the state of the two squads are. So I think for me, it was one of those where on balance of play, I think you're thinking, how is it only 1-0? But going in at half time, winning was absolutely the right scenario.
Yeah, and I was glad because the conditions were very difficult down there again, and it meant for a heavy pitch, and the passing was a bit kind of wayward for periods of the first half and some of the second, but for the most part, I thought we played well, and going in leading at half time was very much how I think everyone's expected it to be. Smarty, how do you think overall? How do you think Willie played? Do you think is it his place to lose now?
Well, I've always said that you don't change a winning team, and I still stand by that. Even though James hasn't technically done anything wrong, he's just been injured. But you know, at the end of the day, I say it a lot. If you can imagine being a very, very tired left or right back, depending on which position he takes up in the team, and you see Dan James warming up and getting his shirt on and ready to come on, your ass is going to fall out in it. Let's be fair. I think you just stick to what we've got. I mean, I think Willie's shown more than what he's capable of, especially at this level. So yeah, he keeps his position for me, which is a shame because, like I said, Dan James hasn't done anything wrong and he's a cracking player, and he's really, really contributed throughout the season so far. But you don't change a winning team. I'm not going to go back on my philosophy, I'm afraid. So yeah,
never heard that from you before.
No. It's a good philosophy to have, to be fair, because like it's actually not doing us any harm not changing them. We all thought, we've loads now. We can rotate here. We can do this. You know, rest players, and it's like, to be fair, like you just want to,
I did. Sorry, I've interrupted Carl while he was speaking there, but I did notice Joe through the week saying that she was getting really annoyed because YouTube didn't tell her that we were going live until we finished or we were just about to come off. But she's with us from the start tonight, so welcome along, Joe.
Yeah. I've totally lost my train of thought there now.
Yeah, sorry.
I wanted to put that up as well. I was like, I saw it. And I was like, when you were talking, and or Smarty was talking, I was like, I best not while Smarty's talking. And then I was like, I'll just stare it. But anyway, yeah, no, I thought overall we did quite well. But Dan James coming off the bench obviously is enough to put the absolute fear in anyone. Like so. I'm a little kind of torn at the moment because I liked how Dan James started the season. I liked how we went into things, and he's a tough little character as well. He wins a lot of headers for a small man, like, and his defensive duties he never slacks in, like. So it's just good to see that we have that kind of headache at the moment, and don't rotate if it's going to keep us winning at all. What did you think of Willie's Bergkamp-esque goal? I thought it was quite tasty, you know, myself.
Well, I think that's a bit of a stretch. I'll start there. I think anybody that can take a touch like that, dropping out of the air the way that it was, and you know, the first touch, I think, was magic. Because I think he's done exactly what he intended to do. It's taking it away from the defender. His second touch, you're thinking, he's moved himself away from goal a bit. And then if we're really, really honest and slightly critical, he scuffed his shot. But he scuffed his shot into bottom corner. So you'll take them every time, won't you? But the first touch is magic. You know, the way that it's dropping out of the sky, it's as you said, it's hitting a wet pitch. We saw variable bounce. It was cutting up right from the outset. So to not have confidence in the pitch, we kind of on the half volley, he killed it, and it were perfectly in his path. So I think the touch and then to finish it off in the way that he did, I think you know you've got to give him loads of credit for that. Yeah. I think when you're talking about people coming back into the side, I don't care who it is now, whoever it is, Waits. There's been lots of noise online about our strike's the best defender in the division, which I'm not having anywhere. There's lots of talk about, it walks back into this side. It's like this side has conceded one goal in 1,000 minutes. There's nowhere for me. So it's one of those where the players have played themselves, and we're looking ahead, and you're thinking against Leicester. Well, actually, our strongest 11 over the average over the season so far has been Bamford at 9, and has been Dan James on the right, and we're playing Leicester, and you're thinking, I don't care who it is. You can't drop them out. So for me, they've played their way into form, and they stay that way until form drops off. Whoa, it's 2-0 Hull.
Come on. I've just barked a load of tweets. Come on.
It's one of those for me where you look at the output, and you look at the work rate, and I think Willie's working hard. You are right to say that Dan James works really hard in defence, and he's been getting the goals, he's been getting the assists. But once a player plays himself into form, you stick with them until the form drops off, or they're unavailable through suspension or injury or whatever that might be.
I think I was a bit worried about halfway through the game, where it felt like we needed a change, and maybe Rutter, was he really having that good a game? I don't know. If it was as good to get man of the matches as people have made out. I think it was probably one of his more quieter games, but he had two very impactful periods of the game.
We've won 2-0. He's got a goal and an assist.
Yeah, but around that, it's kind of, did he play that well to get man of the match? I would have personally given it to Willie, if I'm honest. I thought he had a great game.
There were a couple of shouts for Ampadu, but I would have gone Willie.
Yeah. Just to quickly hit your point there earlier, where you were saying that everyone has to work their way back in. It's mad to say that the guy that we brought in as captain in Strike was, is playing all right, not conceding many, not losing many. And to say one of our best centre midfielders is now playing centre back, he's keeping him out of the team. It's just a bit mad. It's mad, but we've replaced one really good centre mid with a even just as good one in Gruev, I think.
It's amazing, really.
I'm going to say, yeah, it is. This is what happens over the course of a season, though. You find your niche, don't you? And because we've got so many talented players within our squad, they're able to fill in at so many different positions. Ampadu played centre-back for Sheffield United, didn't he? It's not an unfamiliar role to him. But yeah, it's just brilliant how we can interchange players and that the players excel in those different positions. We've seen it under different managers where, we've moved players, maybe Cock into Calvin Phillips's position before, and he didn't really do that well. Whereas now we're seeing that interchangeability is just flawless, and we're not missing a beat, and we keep going. It's like with this Chelsea game that's next week. These fringe players, I suppose, which you can call them now, which I suppose that Dan James is now again. He'll probably get a start against Chelsea because he deserves it. But you wouldn't even bat an eyelid. You'd be like, yeah, absolutely fine. Whereas before, you'd be thinking, is that right call? Or are we being a bit naive or whatever? No, absolutely, full on. Get Dan James in the starting 11 against Chelsea if he's not starting on Saturday. Friday, sorry.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. I think at this stage, he is kind of a fringe player because he's not getting in, he's...
Unfairly, but, at the end of the day, he's got an injury and Willie were ready to go. So, it is what it is.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird.
Yeah, on that, actually, that's the fair approach, and it is. He was playing. Willie was on the bench and sat and waited his turn. He's taken his opportunity, much like Gruev has. If Gruev wasn't playing well, he was giving the ball away a lot, and he looked like a fish out of water. Well, Stryker would be straight back in at centre back, and Ampadu would move forward and go back into midfield. Willie had not had any sort of form. As soon as Dan James are available, he comes back into the side. They've played their way into form. So, to your points, Matt, you don't change that.
Roland's made a comment in the chat, lads. If Pascal comes back, we can move Ampadu into midfield and give Kamara a rest. What are your thoughts on that one?
Now, I think that if you are looking to give Kamara a rest, you move Gray into midfield and you play the right back that we've signed.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think that's
it's a fair shout, Roland. But I wouldn't want to bring someone that's coming back in from injury straight into the team like that, and just to give someone a rest, someone who's not, you know, really don't know what wrong.
The rest, McGruev's doing the Ampadu job, isn't he? He's taking that mantle on and that role, whereas Kamara moves around a bit more. He doesn't get forward in his, like, you know, he's not dynamic like an eight, but he does that job of getting about the pitch and covering and getting involved and dictating some of the play when he's passing further up the pitch, whereas Gruev's that anchor that Ampadu was. So Gruev and Ampadu in the middle feels a little bit samey, like they'd be doing the same job, whereas one of them needs to sit that bit in front of that, either Gruev or Ampadu for me, and that for me is either Gray or Kamara.
So, like, just to throw one out there before we move on to predictions, I've been watching Gruev quite a bit now as well myself. Who do you think has got a better passing range from deep? Do you reckon it's Gruev or Ampadu? Now, take out that, you know, Ampadu played that ball over the top to Bamford in the FA Cup. That's, like, I mean, like, in the games he's played in the league. Who do you think looks like the better passer of the ball?
And the one that he played for Rutter when he had a touch and scored, and those that he's played out at wings that have been perfect pinpoint balls, and you take out all of those great passes he's played, and which one's got a better passing range?
But no, but you know what I mean. Like, it's
even Archie Gray's got a great long pass on him. Yeah. They've got quite a few players in that team that have got an hell of a long pass on them, should I say?
Yeah,
you know, I think it's great. Ampadu's a bit niche, and he's very good.
Yeah. So I think Ampadu's got a better passing range.
Yes,
I think you cannot take away from how accurate Gruev's been and how tidy he's been in not giving away the ball very much. There was one, it were one of his first games when he were given a start, where right at the start he just played them in. But we were playing against somebody shit. We got away with it and he was imperious for the rest of the game. He used that to kind of springboard himself to go, right, I'm not giving anything away again. And he's just carried that on. So but let's not move on to predictions just yet, because you did say that we were going to talk about the first half and we've not talked about the second half pretty much yet. But I'm just going to put up here now the momentum. So you can see, so in that first half, as I said, I think we went in ahead, and rightly so. We were well on top for the duration of that first half. In the second half, they had a bit of possession. I never felt like they were necessarily going to hurt us. But we scored and then dominated the next 10, 15 minutes. And it kind of was over as a competition at that point, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think Rutter's, with the second goal, it was always coming. You could see it coming.
Did you see a double Megs coming?
No, I don't. I don't think Rutter even saw that. Like, but you can't take it away from him. That was double Meg City. Like, but
I hope he called it.
Yeah, of course he would. He'd be in the dressing room going, yeah, come on.
Oh, no, you got to tell your opponent when you do it. You got to shit tells him.
But, I didn't know where the goal was going to come from. We were attacking quite well in the latter stages of the game, and attacking with some vigour as well. So, Smarty, I'll come to you just on this one. Like, the swap for Pirot and Rutter, I'm kind of worried that he might revert back to Pirot in the 10 now and Rutter as the 9 for Leicester. I don't think Pirot played particularly bad in the 9 when he was up top at all. Like, he doesn't have the mobility of Bamford, but he does try and make the same kind of closing down runs, but just not the pressure. What's your thoughts on that?
I think we've said, and a few of us have said, that when Leeds are playing well, Pirot seems to play very well. When there's a lot of space around him for him to be, you know, mobile and move around a lot, he seems to play, you know, relatively well. He pops up in little bits and he's good at offloading passes. And the guy's a really, really tidy finisher. You know, we've seen that time and time again. You know, you'd always back him if you were in a one-on-one situation or whatever. It's when he seems to go missing when we're up against it, or if they play quite compact at the back. So on a Saturday. Sorry, I've lost track of time maybe this weekend. So yeah, as you can see, they were quite open. You know, we've seen for the last few weeks against a lot of opposition that they're playing quite open football. Swansea, stupidly enough, it was just like, what on earth are you doing? So, you know, in them sort of situations, he seems to do really, really well. Leicester will be a hell of a more complicated game. It won't be as straightforward. I'm really, really looking forward to it, actually. We'll get more into that, obviously, as we get later into the pod and stuff. But it's going to be a much harder test for him. But then again, Bamford might be back, though.
Yeah, would you like to see him come back in? And take away your whole don't change the team.
But it's one appearance that he's made. The philosophy is, I suppose, that, you know, once you're getting a bit of a run, like Struyck now, he's been out for months, went on a massive, massive run now. You can't put Struyck straight back into the team. It's like, you know, Somerville, Dan James has been out, we're missing for a few weeks. You know, we're talking one game for Bamford. But yeah, like I say.
Yeah.
I can't see him coming back in, though, because even if he's available, he's not had any minutes at all. He wasn't even on the bench against Plymouth.
Depends how much he's been training as well, doesn't it? So it's unlikely we'll see him, but yeah.
But if he'd been training at that point, you would expect him to have been at least on the bench, wouldn't you? Hmm. So I can't see him coming back in. I think the Pirro piece, especially against the context of... So, I thought, this is a bit of a weird juxtaposition. I thought that Ruta had one of his poorer games, despite the fact that he did get an assist and a goal in the same game. I thought that he had one of his poorer games, but Pirro played quite well, and yet Ruta was still better than Pirro, if that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
Your new haircut's getting slurred, Cal.
That's all right. And they're great to have.
Do you know what we need to do? We need to find the picture of over lockdown. second lockdown. Fucking hell. It looked like we just rescued you from a well or something that you've been stuck down for fucking months, feeding on like moss and licking the walls to stay alive. That was amazing, that haircut. Like, I'll have to see if I can find it and show people.
It very much felt like I was homeless at one point. Like, no.
I'm going a little bit hobo at the moment, but you know.
Yeah. But it's got to be done. Like, got to let yourself go every now and again, you know. Just one thing here, Adrian North York's whole 10 goal attempts to Saints 2, and John says Saints are rattled here. Keep it up there now, Hull. Yeah. So, has anyone else anything they'd like to say about the game?
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Which bit did you specifically enjoy? Was it the last 20 minutes?
Roughly the last 20 minutes, especially Rutter's goal and that bit afterwards. Yeah.
Okay. You could tell. You could tell by the way you like talking about it there at the end of the chat about the game.
Yeah,
anyway,
really good.
Yeah.
Otter no better predictions.
Moving
you,
on
Gilly.
Then. Yeah, no bother.
Trying not to hang smarty like.
So the last update, Smarty had gone from fifth to joint second. Smarty has followed that up with a sweet 5 points. He wasn't the only one to get 5 points.
What?
So Jay went 4-0 leads, got 1 point. Kyle went 3-0 leads, got 1 point. Luke went 2-1 leads, got 1 point. I went 3-1 leads and got 3 points.
Nice.
Johnny Brown, on behalf of the fans, went 2-0 leads, got himself 5 sweet points.
They need it though, they're right about it.
And Bren also went 2-0 leads and got himself 5 sweet points. Nice. And you were joint second with Bren. And what that does is the fans are only 5 points behind Carl.
So
the fans are on 23, Carl's on 28. There's then another jump to Luke and Jay together on 34. There's another jump now, and there's gaps opening up to Smarty and Bren both on 39. And I have kept slightly ahead on 41.
Oh, it's getting tight at the top there, lads.
It's all tightening up. There's 2 points in between the top three.
Nice. That very much sounds like the way it's going for Leeds United at the moment.
It does, really.
He was winding me up today. Like, he's been winding me up all day saying, no, you didn't say 2-0 this. I said, I know he's baiting me. I know he's doing this to wind me up.
Yeah, but it worked. No,
it did. Do you know what? Even to the fact where I'd actually gone back through the fucking podcast, right? I'd watched the whole thing just to like try and obviously get, and I found this.
We got... So Jay's really busy, isn't he? But Smarty has been in the comments. I'm not seeing any from him. But yeah, we'll pick the rest up from the lads. Thank you very much. Back to you, Luke.
I love the fact that you got yourself. I had to do it. I thought, that bastard, he's going to do me out of 5 points here. I'm going to have to do it. So there we go. Thank you, Jay, by the way, who helped me do that, because I'm totally illiterate when it comes to computing and things, so you had to do that for me. So,
nice. I like that. Nice. So, yes, it's all tightening up, as they say.
It's all to play for now, lads, isn't it? Right. Okay.
It is indeed.
Well, where the fuck is that gone? There it is.
Auto no better predictions.
Yeah, we're closing. Thanks off for that, very professional this evening.
Wow.
Christ. I'm trying, lads. I'm learning new things. I'm learning how to add stuff to the overlay and
pressing all the buttons.
I'm honest to God, I'm absolutely on top of it today. Like, so next we're going to go on to this.
Hey, oh, has got a shit tick this week, my little spatter fact.
I fucking love that.
Jesus. You've absolutely properly taken me by surprise there, because I've now got to go and find the shit take of the week. And the shit take of the week.
It's in brand.
I've got it.
Here's
Mr. JWood 180 on Twitter. He says, it amazes me how bitter Leeds fans are about Marsh still. I'm taking it this is because obviously Jesse Marsh featured the other night on Sky Sports with Jamie Carragher. Yeah. Bloke was given one fullback in summer window and was tasked with improving the worst defence in the league. He was doomed to fail based on the lack of recruitment in the positions we needed most. Now then, who would like to start first? Cal, would you like to take the lead on this one and give us your thoughts on Mr. Jay Wood's tweet there?
Well, there's a reason we have picked it for shit take of the week, because it's properly a shit take of the week. I genuinely don't know what to make of that kind of opinion on matters of Jesse Marsh. Like, I was looking at that today, and I think the only thing you can kind of compare it to is, you know, the US men's national team bleeding Twitter side, where they just absolutely think that every player is the bee's knees and the dog's paw. And that for me is up there with the shit at stake in the US men's national team tweets. Now, I don't know what inebriated state that chap may have been in when he wrote that tweet. But I'm really hoping that he was in some sort of K-hole or something like that, because I think that's the only excuse you can have that anyone would kind of go, you know what? That's fair enough.
Bloke was given one fullback. What?
I mean, it's just not true, is it? It's absolutely demonstrably just not true. I mean, I will say, Carl, it was 25 past 7 at night, okay. If he's in the UK, that is.
Could very well be just back in from a feed of pints and a Sunday roast.
Can't really see his profile picture much. Don't know where it comes from. I mean, I suppose if you look at the second paragraph, it says bloke was given one fullback in the summer window and was tasked with improving the worst defence in the league. I think as the defence goes, I suppose he's got a point there when we only got the Fairy Viking in to improve the defence.
And we did have Robin Koch. You know, there's no getting away from the fact that he's an absolutely shy footballer. He's stealing a living. But still, you know, to say that he were only given one fullback is just lies.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think he hasn't really written it correctly there, is he? He's not, you know, he's We were given one fullback for the defensive part of the team, I suppose, on a whole. Yes, we were given one fullback, but the rest of the recruitment, then he goes on to say, you know, he were left hung, dried and quartered or whatever. It's like, eh? We got fucking Aronson, who was like a Rizzler in the pissing wind. Adams, for what it's worth, who actually was probably one of the only ones that were a fair decent player. Obviously, we signed McKennie in the later months, and what's his name? Your mate, defender. Christ. I've kind of blocked all these players' names out now. There were a lot more recruitment than just them, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like, what? I don't understand. Mate. Whoever's mate, it doesn't matter. I can't believe there's people out there who want to defend him. And there were people, you know, online last night and other night that said, oh, yeah, he actually makes quite a few good points, actually. You know, maybe we're a bit harsh that we sacked him. Like, get a fucking grip of your life. Have you seen what drivel you are writing?
Did always spark a good game. His problem was that he couldn't put it into effect.
That's what I mean. There were loads of people, you know, his video of team training up on the screen and Carragher's trying to break down. Obviously, there was clear communication barriers. Him trying to understand what the frigging Al Carragher was saying in the first place was obviously an issue. But then he's giving it all this and he's like, oh, yeah, we can do this and we like to press areas and we like to play away. Like, that's fucking great, mate. You talk a hell of a cracking game. He hoodwinked all of us for quite some time, but the guy was absolutely frigging clueless. Absolutely clueless. I've got more football knowledge, apparently, in my fucking left toenail than he has or what he ever displayed in frigging 12 months of being a manager of Leeds United. Clueless prick.
I'm going to be nice here. I'm going to be really nice here.
You do what you need.
No, I'm going to be nice to you because he didn't hoodwink us all. You called it right from the start.
Yeah, I did as well. Like, me and Smarty were the ones getting shit.
He was right from the outset. He went, no, this is all bullshit. I'm not having any of it at all. And he needs to be sacked by Christmas. And the fact that he wasn't is the reason we got relegated.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think everyone's as the season got on. I mean, I said that right, literally as he took over Bielsa. So that was the season before that, you know. And then I my opinion wavered slightly when we started off, you know, fairly well in the season after. But I was still pretty much saying, and we did for a brief, you know, point in time, you know. But it was clear to see that it wasn't working. And the opportunity of the World Cup break and the Christmas period going into the new transfer window in January. It was an ideal, perfect opportunity for someone else to come in to establish their kind of playing style and all that. And we just overlooked it because we'd beaten frigging Liverpool on an absolute fluke, you know. And I can't remember who else we'd beat.
And it was brilliant. We beat Chelsea earlier in season, and we beat Bournemouth around that time as well, didn't we? That was basically the Somerville and Willie show, wasn't it? We were 2-0 down or something, and we ended up 3-1 winning
3-1 down at one point or something.
3-1 down. I know it was a good comeback.
4-3 we beat him?
Beat him 4-3? Yeah, it was. And, you know, the two of them pinged a ball together, and we got the winner on a breakaway, didn't we? It was amazing. The Liverpool game I watched in Old Ball in Horsforth. It's Horsforth, isn't it? You know, it were packed out and there were one Scouse fan, and did I enjoy myself with him. We really enjoyed those games, but you would absolutely erase that to have not had Marsh there at all.
It got embarrassing, didn't it? You swallowed
it. It was diabolical. It was awful. Really, I can't speak. It's one of them where any coach with any nous about them at all that has any sort of level playing field, so we're not talking about in Austrian Pie and Pea leagues, in an actual top-level league where you've got actual top-level players and all you've got is a bit of athleticism, which we did have when he first took over, and he ruined that as well. You compress a game, but when you compress a game in the areas that we were, it's dead easy to break because you just kick the ball into that big open space and have one person there and he's got nobody marking him, and then they can do whatever they want. And Sige just did that against us again and again and again.
Yeah.
when you're playing in a farmers league in Europe, you know, you've got a couple of decent, you know, Austria, you know, even Germany, you know, France to a degree. You've got a couple of top tier clubs, just like the Scottish Premier League as well.
Yeah.
Or Super League or whatever the frigging hell they call it. You've got your Celtic and your Rangers, and you might have one other team that does okay. Pretty much the majority of the whole European leagues are very, very similar. So you can afford to be gegenpressing or whatever you're doing in against other teams who are absolutely shit. But I would dare say that most Premier League teams, especially those in the top half of the league, would give any sort of top tier other league sort of teams a good run for the money. That style of play does not work in the Premier League. We saw it with frigging Mr. Rabbit Hutch Hasenhüttl at Southampton. When he tried to employ the same sort of style there, they got absolutely dicked left, right and centre until they sacked him as well. It just does not work in this league. The individual quality of the opposition players in this league far outweighs the individual quality of other players in other leagues. It's just chalk and cheese, and it just doesn't work. But obviously, the Americans were fantastic players, and then everywhere else was shit, and that it was them that let us down. The only person that can hold his head, hold his head high to a degree, is Adams, because I thought he was fantastic for a period, and then he turned into a loaf of cheese and loaf of cheese.
A loaf of cheese.
Yeah. A lump of cheese and just melted into nothing, didn't he? So,
but looking back, though, the most enjoyable thing about Adams is Click absolutely cleaning him out on training pitch.
Oh, man, that clip put up again there on Twitter during the week. I was like, that's beautiful. That should be. Can you hang a video in the Louvre? I mean, it's unreal. It's unreal.
We got some real gold, didn't we, off the training pitch? You know, that Bielsa hug for Bamford and Click absolutely destroying Adams. You know, there's been a couple.
Yeah. I think overall it was a period in the club's history that'll probably be forgotten as quick as it happened. So hopefully that's the case.
Somebody on Twitter today said, Marsh wasn't that bad when you look at the play. Look at the managers that we've had. We've had Hockaday and we've had Milanic. And, you know, it started listing off all of the...
absolute dross.
All of the coaches that we've had. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, there is only the Hock that I would think twice about not taking over Marsh.
Yeah.
Before I ever considered bringing Marsh back in, I would go Milanic. I would go Skubala. I would bring those in before I ever considered Marsh ever again, because he's literally, you know, at least they've shown some pedigree in doing some coaching and some training. Yeah. In effect, I mean, you look at the difference that it's made. Melier's looking better. I know it's at a different level, but Melier's looking better. Bamford looking better. Somerville's still looking good. Nonto's back on his game. But you look at the midfield and you look at the defence and the output, you know, to have conceded so few goals and to be so dominant under somebody that actually has a mind of how he wants his team to play and gives them an idea of what their job is and sets the boundaries for what he's looking for from them. And if they're not doing it, calls them out on it and make sure they do it right, or they get pulled and somebody else goes in. That's what you need. You just need somebody that's got the right leadership values and the right management styles to be able to get the most out of your players. And Jesse Marsh is nothing but a snake oil salesman. He doesn't have any of that.
What Jesse Marsh has done is he's gone and read all the material that he needed to read to get his pro license badges and not learned how to implement a single fucking thing.
Yeah. We used to call it a paper MCSE. Was somebody that had learned how to pass the test but didn't have any of the real-world experience. So they had a qualification, they got a job off the back of it and had absolutely no idea what they were doing. That's Jesse Marsh.
That is 100% Jesse Marsh, yeah.
Smarty, what's this? Bryn's having a right pop at you. Smarty banned me for team killing on COD, the dick.
that's a whole other stream yard, that one.
I can fucking reban you if you want. Even though I didn't in the first place. See, how do you do it now? Options.
I'll just read through Diesel. a few more comments, lads, before we get on to chatting about, I just wanted to maybe touch on Willie and Cree just for a second, but I'll just go through a few comments first, all right? Indeed, he is out on Friday. Jesus, that's great news. Absolutely fantastic, that. Nice one, Alison. Go on, Smarty. Are you going to say something?
I've just been, whilst Gilly were just chatting there, I was just having a look at the injuries to Leicester. Michael Brighton has returned from injury. Ian Acho is back for them, the bastards. Ben Nelson is a doubt, though.
Okay.
Ndidi is out with a long-term muscle injury.
Sound.
Do you know what they've also said in their little news thing, which they're absolutely buzzing over, which I've quite found quite funny? We have been hit by four important players, or injuries to four important players, and they continue with Patrick Bamford, obviously, but then have listed Sam Byron, Pascal Strike, and Stuart Dallas. Big Stu has been missed, obviously. He's been gone for 2 years.
Well, yeah, I'd like him all back, but, you know, we've lived without him to this point and our second in the league, so, you know.
Yeah, it's okay, lads. Just, you know, keep carrying on carrying on, Leicester. It's fine. Nigel D, how are you doing? Anyone seen the LUFC vid on the lads?
I've seen a clip of it where I think it's Rutter who says I think it's Archie Gray that's drawing something on like a whiteboard and it looks like a cat, but then Rutter out of nowhere says and then Rodon kicks off and goes, "There's no way you'd have got bloody hippopotamus from that," and Ampadu starts kicking off like, "No way, he's told him."
Archie's told him.
There's no way you would have guessed that thing. It looked like a chuffing tomcat. It never looks like a bloody hippopotamus. He's never seen one.
Brilliant. Anyway,
but yeah, it looks good. Good being men. The whole thing. Good being men. It is
good
being men.
What's Danny on about here? It's good being men.
He's probably he's probably been sniffing his prick sticks again.
Yeah.
Prick sticks? I don't think that's what it is.
He's not allowed glue. He's not allowed proper glue. He's got to have prick sticks.
No, he's been eating that paint glue. You know, the one that you get.
A prick stick is something different altogether.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You're actually right. Yeah,
again, that's a totally different podcast.
Prick stick. Some pricks do stick.
They do.
Hey, mate, you obviously know more about that than I do.
I do. I'm a connoisseur in the old pricking and sticking.
Caravan Club. Paul Brennan's in the comments. He's saying, well, he seems to be getting his mojo back and he's scoring goals, which bodes well for the promotion running. And we have Dan James as well. Yeah, that's definitely a one to look forward to there. We have one from Jay. Feel for DJ. Did amazing as a starter. That did kind of throw me there for a second.
When Cal reads it, it sounds as he reads it. Starter.
Starter, man. I'll start that again. Feel for Dan James. Did amazing as a starter. But can't take Willie out when he's performing so well. Yeah, totally agree, Jay. Paul Brennan here again. The refreshing thing is the whole team playing for each other, playing for the manager, all smiling. Team spirit is 100% solid, which bodes well for the promotion push. Absolutely. We have Johnny Brown. Rutter couldn't hold anything up at all, and that's why Farrick moved him to 9. Tend to agree. He was getting a lot of pushing and pulling out of him. Like, so, yeah, I tend to agree with Johnny on that one.
Speaking of Johnny Brown, apparently he's taking young Alfie to another game at home. Apparently he's watching as well this evening. Good evening to you both over in Hull.
Hello, lads.
Yep, your little ledge.
So you better not break it against these lot, Alfie. Otherwise, you'll be for it, son.
Why would you even say that? What a fucking wally! Anyway, moving along.
Are you fucking joking? They've been bloody square balls been plastering it around for frigging months. So this young lad's his lucky charm. Fucking hell.
Joe Bedford, it's not worth much, but this is the only part I watch. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that.
That'll do us.
And,
you need to broaden your horizons, Joe.
Nah,
Stop it.
It's grand. Don't worry about it.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Other podcasts are available, but they're all shit. Stay here.
Yeah, there you go. Kenneth, I saw this comment when we were talking about Jess, that shit take of the week. So I just, I live in America.
Yeah, no.
Only thing I ask is that y'all don't judge all of us by the US. Absolutely not. That wasn't my point when I said it. It wasn't aimed at actual football fans. It's just the US men's national team. Their Twitter is just insane. It's nothing to do with proper football fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I, Kenneth, if you were upset by my comment, I do apologize. But
Kenneth, Wisconsin White, actually. There you go.
Yes. Yeah,
We've all said it a few times.
A Brady and Co, can't we?
No.
Have we not?
I've asked him to come on, but maybe we talked about it.
But he's absolutely spot on. It's not American fans. It's USMNT fans.
It's your USMNT. Yeah.
That's a totally separate entity. Like,
and there's other flag waving wankers from our country as well. So don't.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I think you're on about Robert Wetzel. He's from Wisconsin as well. I think Rob's been on here before.
Just want to.
You're welcome, Danny.
What? My God, thank you. A certain female pop star, sort of Americans.
Well, I hashtagged USMNT and Swifties under one of Dan's tweets.
Me and Gilly went on the Not Another Leeds podcast a few weeks ago and started slating all of the Taylor Swift people and fans.
Whoa, you did? I warned you against it. And you doubled.
I didn't even know what a Swiftie was. I had to be, because I'm older and stuff now, I had to be, have explained to me what a Swiftie was. And obviously, Gilly being, you know, older than the Ark, knew exactly what it was.
A Swiftie back home was a quick pint before you hit the road. Like, that was a Swiftie.
There's a Swifties and this and the other. I'm like, this cannot be what I think it is. So you had to explain it to me what it was. So yeah, good luck with that one, Danny.
It's out. Nige D says Jesse Marsh equals penis ball. This is very correct. Jay is having a dig at Smarty in the comments. Smarty, you xenophobe from the US men's national team nutjobs.
Yes.
And Danny has, my England is broken. They're not.
I think they're not is because we said that all of the Leeds United-based podcasts are shit. They are. They're not.
All right, okay. That was started fairly lively.
There is some chuffing good stuff out there, definitely.
There is indeed.
Too many to list, to be fair.
Yeah. Just quickly, lads, there was an article today that I spotted, and it was about Cree Somerville basically stating that he didn't look for a move, and he wouldn't look for a move even if we didn't go up this season. I just want to just touch on this quickly. Do you think, is that just for the papers, or what do you think the crack is there, Gilly?
You don't know how much of it is curry in favour. It comes across as quite a down-to-earth person, though, doesn't he? I know that there were comments made that were around his professionalism. Smarty, Man City won the up against Brentford.
Whoa. Erling. Yeah, but... but Ipswich are winning, so Bibet's gone to shit.
When the fun stops. I think it's one of those where if you look at the level of performance he's putting, the level of effort he's putting in, He didn't come across as somebody that was looking to force a move at the time. He seems quite level-headed, which is quite against... If you remember way back when, Jesse Marsh was saying, we're hoping that Willie Nonto has a positive influence and a positive impact on Cree, as he called him. And I think that kind of seems to have done a bit of an about turn, because it actually seems to be Jimmy that is the one that's grounded, the one that's kept his head straight, the one that's put all the effort in, and we're hoping actually Willie's going to emulate Jimmy. So it's one of those for me where it's nice to hear, but if a big offer comes in, you know, we saw what the club did with Jack Harrison, because Rads wanted to cash in. You know, we were going to send him down the road to Leicester, who we were trying to leapfrog in the table and stay up while they were trying to do the same with us. And it's like, hang on a minute. One of our, you know, all right, he's had variable performances with his time over his time with us. But on his day can be a match winner and always put in a mammoth shift of work. So I think it's one of them. It's nice to see, but if there's a big offer,
yeah,
all bets are off, really. I think loyalty is something that as fans we demand of one another, and we like to think that local born players have got the same level of loyalty. You know, you look at Cooper and he's been with us 10 years now, testimonial year and all of that sort of stuff. It's a job for them.
That's the thing. Like, it's at the end of the day, it's a paycheck as well, regardless, you know. Smarty, do you think the way Cree is playing at the moment, I just want to, again, just really quickly, the way Cree is playing at the moment, do you think has it had a positive effect on Willie, or do you think it's more Willie wanting to prove that he's good enough to be in it? You know, you see your mate doing well, you're like, geez, I want that. I want to be able to drive for that. Do you think is it as much that as trying to prove that he wants to be here? Like,
I think so. I think given the reception that he got at the start of the season, clearly he was upset by it, but said that, you know, that said, it was fully justified and well deserved, in my opinion, you know, the way he conducted himself at the start of the season. For him to see how well Somerville's playing, you know, he's playing with bags and bags of confidence, you know, he's one of our very best players, you know, probably best player depending on who you are and, you know, etc., etc. But for him, because they're so close apparently, for him to see how well he's been received and how much he's been loved this season, of course you're going to want a little bit of that. You know, I think he was very, very poorly advised at the start of the season. Hopefully, you know, now he's got his head screwed on and wants to crack on and nail down a starting 11, because that's going to have an effect on him as well. You know, not getting into the team, you know, and being on the sidelines and seeing it all. After the season that he had the season before, you're going to want to get on that action. You know, so he might have had to eat a little bit of humble pie, but at the end of the day, he's a cracking player. See one of your best mates doing so well in Cree Somerville, you're going to want a bit of a slice of that, aren't you? So, yeah. And it seems to have worked, because he's hitting a great bit of form and he's contributing very, very well in all the games. So,
yeah.
More of it, please.
I think it just it goes well for the club, the team, and everyone associated with us now at the moment.
When all players are playing with confidence, so, and you can see the team, they are together and they're all smiling, they're all happy. You know, there's no negative. I mean, you look, you know, you contrast that with last season when they all looked miserable they played like they didn't want to be here, but they looked certainly like they didn't want to be here. There's a massive togetherness, and that's partly down to Fark, obviously, and his culture that he's instilled in the lads, and, you know, he's brought the fans and the club back together after, you know, a bit of a rough patch, should I say. Kind of like a divorce, wasn't it? between the players and the fans, you know, it were a bit of a rocky road, but yeah, he's brought the whole club back together again, you know, and it's great, you know, it's great being a Leeds fan again.
Yeah,
and they are likeable, aren't they? You know, you look at Marlon, the way they interact with each other, the way they play, but you know, the Flamingo Land video that we some of us have seen, some of us have seen clips of and what have you, and just the way that they interact with each other, and you know, we built a massive rapport with the squad through that COVID period when we couldn't be there, and you've seen all the videos and all of that going on, and we've kind of lost our way with the club a little bit, or the club lost its way. You brought in a snake oil salesman as the head of the the playing staff, and you brought in players that were clearly, you know, self before side 100%, because we've seen what happened beyond that and the way that Sinny and Adams and everybody else, you know. So I think the fact that now actually what you can see is players just enjoying playing football and playing with each other and playing for the fans and appreciating the fans and getting involved in it. One of the videos I saw through the week was a young lad that was stood near the team coach. And I don't know if you remember, but there were one time after a game that Leeds were very heavily criticised for not interacting with the fans. Now, we'd been beat and it was shit time and everybody were down and we were getting beat every week. So it's a different context. But every single first team play, there were a couple of fringe players and youth players that didn't. But you can see them looking at him and going, will he even know who I am? Does he care? And I don't think it was ignoring. I think it was a case of, I'm going to stay out of the way and let the rutter that's just got a goal and an assist to go over and interact with this young lad and whatever else. But they all went over and fist bumped and they were spending a bit of time with him, ruffling hair and, you know, just genuinely being nice. And they are nice humans. And I think we did have that and we lost that quite a bit. But Farker has reinstilled that, I think. He's got to take a lot of credit for that.
Oh, he does indeed, yeah.
Brin's made a decent comment. He says that the dressing room died with Bielsa. It needed regeneration. Sorry, it needed relegation to reset and rebuild with new owners and coach. Absolutely. I think there were quite a few people last season said that the worst thing that could happen to Leeds would for us to be, you know, relegated because of the financial constraints and everything that goes with it.
I said it.
We all did pretty much. We all said, you know, it's the worst thing that could possibly happen. However, there was a few saying, but it could also be the best thing because we get rid of all the shithouses, which we did. I mean, they left us, to be fair, so it would one way, really. But, you know, you're getting rid of the ownership, bringing new people in, you know, establishing some more youth. You know, Archie Gray's come back through the ranks, getting more quality, proven players, which we never did before. Maybe apart from Patrick Bamford, we brought him in, you know, when we sold Vieira. Christ, his name went out of my head then.
Oh, Ronaldo Vieira. Never gives the ball away.
Yeah, Vieira funded the Bamford sale. You know, we brought Bamford in. He was an established, very, very good striker at this level. But the rest were gambles. And when we moved into the Premier League, there were gambles. Some of them paid off. You know, your Rafinhas, etc. Even Rodrigo, I'd say, was an absolute, you know, he was a good signing. But then we bought a lot of shit. Because we were under a shit manager who didn't have a frigging clue. We were also under a dipstick director of football who really, you know, towards the end of his tenure,
done better.
It just caught up. He should have known, but he completely lost it, didn't he? You know, and to be fair, the best thing that's happened to us is for us to get relegated, for us to completely wipe the slate clean, bring in a brilliant board. We've got, obviously, the American 49ers group. They've come in and taken the reins. We've got a cracking manager. You'd only have to listen to what the Norwich fans said about Farke and what they thought of him. You know, he wasn't obviously, you know, he didn't do well when Norwich were in the Premier League because of the lack of funding that they had. But they still, nevertheless, they gave him glowing reports. And we'd seen how well he could do. So we've made the obvious choices. We've hit the targets that we needed to hit in this league when we were relegated. We've got a cracking manager. We've got a good board. We're making good, solid signings. And the rest has just been left up to the players that have been brought in. The fans are back on board. Everyone up behind the scenes is working well together. It's like, it's perfect. We're in a perfect position now. And we are in an absolutely perfect position because we've just been steadily chipping away at those top two for the majority of the season since the bit of a rocky road at the start of the season. We've been just doing our own thing, just playing our own game. The team's got used to playing with each other. Steady. Because I know what you'll say.
Hang on.
Steady. Pun not intended. But yeah, it's just great. And like I say, you know, we're at the point now where that we can just carry on that trajectory and just do our own thing and just not worry about it. I would much rather be in our position now than defending the first and second. Well, we are in second, but, you know, up to a point, we weren't defending the championship like we did, you know, in Bielsa's league and then shit out around Christmas time and then just start to drop down the league. Chasing the pack is easier to go out than, you know, leading the way or whatever. I've rambled a bit there, and I? But you know
what? Right, but I think the
pressure's on Leicester, isn't it? I think that's the point. Is it's Leicester's? Leicester are in the driving seat, so they haven't won it, but it is theirs to lose. You know, they've got to drop the ball for them not to win the title from this point. I think from a perspective of things being in our own hands, we've got Leicester to play, we've got Saints to play last game of the season. So to a certain extent, our destiny is now within our control. And I think that's a big deal. You are right to say that sometimes chasing is it feels less pressured than leading. But I think these players that we've got, Friday night's game is essentially a Premier League tie. Yeah, in pretty much
in
everything. It effectively is, and I think that you could put either side out against one of the bottom six of the actual Premier League and be very confident of getting a result. I think it's expected. I think to be a good game. When we played them earlier in the season, it was a good game. Of course, it was we beat them, but no, it was a good game, and I think it will be again. I think there'll be some good football played, and it's about the clubs maintaining, isn't it? Because if Leicester maintain the form and show that Borough was just a blip, then they'll be in a position again where they can go, right, okay, it was just a blip. We're beyond that now. We've beaten second place team. Pressure's off us because we can just keep our form going now. If they lose another one, that's a big deal. Two in a row lost, and we'll be closing that gap even more. And that will be a case of, can you hold your nerve?
And that has rolled us nicely into the game on Friday. I think, Gilly, before we do go on to the game Friday, I just wanted to put up this comment. It's definitely one that would, you know, you would appreciate. Bye-bye, mercenaries. Well said, Coop.
If you don't want to be here, then fuck off.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
No time for you waste of space. So, Gilly, you were making some great points there about the pressure being on Leicester if the game goes how we'd all like it to go on Friday. I kind of stuck my neck out there on Joe's podcast about a week and a half ago, and I said that we'd probably win the league by 4 points. Now, at the time, I think they were 12 or 13 points ahead of us, and Joe Blackburn said that's a 16-point swing. Win on Friday, and do you think that's possible? Do we dare to dream? Do we shut up shop?
Yeah, it'll be 6 points at that point. It'll be 6 points, and we'll be, so the goal difference I think is about 8 different at the moment. So at the very worst, we'll be 7 goals behind them. If we beat them by 1 goal, we'll be 6 points and 7 goals behind them. That's not insurmountable. We've given away better than that.
Yeah.
14 games. No side has ever been top at Christmas and not been promoted. I think at that point it'll be a case of, can you hold your nerve? And that's when you'll see whether Leicester have the credentials and have the minerals and the stones to carry that through. And if they do, fair play, they deserve the title. Yeah. Because if they get beat off Borough and then beat off us in back-to-back games, and then they steady that and then carry it through to end of season, then they deserve it.
Yeah, I'm fully in agreement, Chair. Sorry.
Go on, I wrote on Twitter on the...
Rotherham have scored. It's 3-2.
Shit, I've just cashed my bet out.
Oh, you
dick!
Absolute wally.
Never cashed out.
Friggin' hell, have Rotherham scored this shit?
Because you've just cashed out. That's why Rotherham scored.
Fucking hell, that was worth 500 quid, that bastard. Anyway, fucking hell.
What have you learned from tonight's pods, Marty?
Oh, Jesus.
Don't be on your phone.
Fucking hell, I hope they come back. Yeah, that's two reasons for them to come back and win now.
The reason now we're looking at my phone is because back in mid-January, I responded to... you remember the tweet that were going around I think it's Saints statistics or something?
Yeah.
Saying that Leeds were out of the running, blah, 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 blah. I commented a few bits and bobs. And I said that first isn't a done deal yet. This is when Leicester, I think they were 17 points ahead of us at that point, maybe.
Yeah.
And I had loads of people quoting me saying, first isn't a done deal yet. Oh, with all that laughing emojis and all that sort of shit. Well, fuck you, you pricks. Because it ain't done, is it? I've got that many bookmarked tweets in here. It's like an absolute fucking minefield of shit. I've got Mind the Gap stuff from Ipswich. I've got all sorts of shit going on. And I just bloody
can't taking wait names and keeping that receipts.
Fucking love it. Oh, I love it. I do. 100%. Martin Dolan is in the comments and has asked, do you have matching black Crocs to go with that top, Smarty? It's not a black top. It's the green one that Fark was wearing the other.
Is it green? I thought it was a dark blue one.
It's beautiful. It's great. It's that green one that Fark were looking sexy as tits in one of his interviews. So I went and bought it. And I went and bought the...
Do you have green Crocs?
Turquoise. No, I don't have green Crocs. They're a turquoise colour.
Turquoise. Isn't that green?
And the mint turquoise green colour that's the other training top? It matches
in turquoise
so
green.
Just fucking wait. Well, it's a greeny blue, isn't it, turquoise? You wouldn't know. You're colour blind.
That's why I'm asking and not saying.
Is it grey? I don't really know.
But anyway, I've got that as well. So just wait for summer and I'll be out there in my Crocs and my training top looking fucking ace, all colour-coded and matchy-matchy.
Yeah. I tell you what, that Rotherham goal's a peach.
Oh, don't start with that. Come on.
No, it is. It's a right finish.
Oh, man. So,
Dauphin.
Yeah.
Don't turn this into another croc cast, for Christ's sake.
No, I'm not doing it. We know the shy. We know that we're not doing it. But have you got a dressing gown?
No. I'm not going to go willy-nilly buying shit dressing gowns. It needs to be Hugh Hefner-esque. I want to be able to stand on my doorstep in Dewsbury.
Come see your dad.
I'm going to...
Come see your dad. I'll spot you out. I'll put to our stairs.
And I'll wave at you. I'll have my Crocs on, my smoking jacket, dressing gown, a little, you know, them little bubble vape pipes that you can get. Just doing that. All golfers and shit that go into the golf club behind me. Anyway, crack on.
Crocs so on for I was lads. Actually, I wasn't going to turn it into a
dressing
croc
gown, here, pal.
Mine's hanging on the door there. Nice big blue Superman one. So Smarty, Friday night. Give us your take on it. How do you think it's going to pan out? We've seen Gilly now. He's brought up the stats, the on-top stats for the last two games. Does it worry you that we seem to drop off at the start of the second half for a little bit before we start getting back into it?
No, not necessarily. I think we don't always see the opposition come at us in the second half. You know, sometimes we like, you know, especially if we're lagging behind, we like to, you know, come out all guns blazing in the second half as well. So it's there and thereabouts. But I'm really, really looking forward to this. Even if we do lose, it's a game that's going to be... It's just going to be the battle of the best teams in it, really. I mean, you can kind of include Southampton, but... If my money were on it at the start of the season, I would have always backed Leicester. I think they're a good team. They've got some quality footballers. And it's just I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm going to try and enjoy it and not to think too much about it, because if we do lose, it doesn't define the rest of our season. And I think everyone needs to remember that. You know, because you can guarantee on Twitter and other social media, there'll be, we've lost it now.
It's already started.
It's gone. We might as well fold. You know, it's just one game. You know, we're still up there. We're still competing at the top of the league. Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be a game. It's going to be an hell of a match, like. But I do fancy us. You know, we're unbeaten at home. You know, that's got to stand for something. You know, they won't want to come to us. You can guarantee they will not want to be coming to us on Friday night.
Not at all. Not after a loss at home when they really didn't play well at all against Middlesbrough. I thought Middlesbrough played... I don't know if you watched the game. But Middlesbrough played quite well. I did.
They
played a low block quite a lot, but they did try and hit them where it hurt on the break down the middle. Like they kind of tried to exploit the fact that Leicester play with two wide, you know, centre backs. So what did he say that?
He said, I have Jammy a quilted.
He's got a quilted silk smoking
smoking jacket.
I expect nothing less from Jammy at this stage.
Jammy's in the US and he'll have some proper gear over there, some like yak silk bloody fur or some
I were picturing like a Rocky.
Gillies will be plastic. He can't go near frigging fire. He'll melt to his leg. He's got to be careful. He's already ruined 3 shell suits. Apparently, shell suits are coming back.
Yeah.
No, I'm not having any of that.
Let me just say that I will
not. I'm
not
saying they're not. It's not happening.
I will not be buying another shell suit. I saw someone in frigging. Do you remember Adidas Poppers from like, 90s? Must be 20 years ago.
It's the 90s, man.
I loved my Adidas Poppers. Apparently, they're back as well, and I've been for a little while. Not that you can get it on. This is like rocking our shit to get hold of.
Finest original clothing, luxury vintage goods, this says in its label. So that must be true.
Luxury vintage from fucking Shanghai Tokyo. Or some shit.
Oh, fuck. There you close.
There we go. Tokyo. How many dogs have made that?
Handcrafted.
Handcrafted from the backs of an Alsatian in the middle of China.
Oh, no. It'll be a sweatshop. It'll be made by kids.
We laugh, but it's a cruel world out there, you know.
It is indeed. Let's try
being a Leeds fan. There's not much crueler than that. I'd rather spend a week sewing footballs together for a pound than having to watch Leeds sometimes. Anyway, digressing. But,
like, I joked in the tweet earlier on saying we'd be doing Culinary Corner and birdwatching. I didn't think we were talking sweatshops and poxy football. It's like...
To move us back to football, to touch on Smarty's point, there was some dickhead on Twitter earlier. I can't remember who it was, but he was saying, Saints win tonight, Ipswich win tonight. We definitely lose on Friday and then we're going to be fourth and it's all going to be shit again. It's like, hang on a minute. We've won 8 league games on the bounce, on the spin. Just fucking enjoy the ride. If you can't enjoy it now, when can you?
I don't get that.
This is what you've got to remember. We've got to enjoy this, right? And this game that's coming up on Friday, we have to enjoy it. Just for what it is, it's a spectacle and it'll be brilliant. The stadium will be bouncing. Hopefully the 5 fans that Leicester will probably bring up with them will be bouncing around as well.
I think they sell out.
I'd like to hope so. I mean, I don't think the bottom tier has been sold back to our fans. Really? I see what you mean. They haven't. It's looking positive. It's going to be a cracking day. We just need to turn that frigging stadium into a cauldron of noise and virital.
Yeah,
it needs. Yeah, to be but the fuck best all of this flag waving nonsense.
No, sticky flags.
Bring back the flags that Rads had and all of that shit. No, I'm not having any of that.
No. Scarves acceptable. Flags, fuck right off.
Yeah. Or bring your own scarves
or something. You know, no flags. I know what?
TIFO.
Yeah, it's the when they do the design all over the stadium, isn't it?
Bah.
Oh, I was going to say TiVo's that technology you used to kick in your VHS recording.
Yeah, this is one of the Irish charm.
You know what? We do that regular thing of video recording on a 1980s VHS cassette in the stadium.
Do you remember that big flag that used to be in South Stand? Probably slightly before Bielsa came.
Yeah,
there were a couple of them.
Yeah, it used to be out in South Stand. We haven't seen that for years.
Yeah, get them back out. That's I don't miss them. No,
I don't miss
them. I don't mind a few of them flying around. Anyway,
as long as it fucks off before game starts, isn't it?
At least we don't have
a fucking disco like them wankers do before game. Like, get taking a few tin pots.
Oh, yeah, but they've got clappers as well, haven't they?
Yeah.
Goal music, yeah. You might as well be watching Super League.
Just
Super Bowl.
Fucking just fold.
Shit, like...
Now, I don't mind Super League, but it's a very different sport and it's definitely not as authentic as football, is it? So, I think it is one of them where Friday night is different to a Tuesday night, isn't it? And I do expect that will have an impact on. I think it's really, really important that the club actually fucking listen and whoever looks after the fucking soundtrack that gets played does their fucking job and that we get marching on together. Just before kickoff, and just before it, we get Strings for Yasmin, and at half time we play marching on together, so that people know to get back to the fucking seats. And it.
I want Dizzy Dummies coming back. There, I said.
Do you know what? I'm on board.
I want some half time shit that we used to have when we were shit. Dizzy I like to see some dickhead that's half cut, you know, and he's stumbling around because he's had too many Stellas or whatever and he's been sick on himself.
Yeah, he's got his gazelles on and he's
chatting. That's what I want to see. Exactly. Yeah, agreed. I want to see that shit. Why haven't we got that? Yeah. Bring it back.
Agreed.
It's Friday.
But we are bookmarked by Match On Together. So play strings for Yasmin. Fuck off that fat boy slim bullshit. Play strings for Yasmin. Get everybody going. Play Matching On Together. Get everybody into game. After halftime, play Matching On Together so people get back to the seats and the atmosphere is the same after halftime as it was just before it. It's not difficult. We're not asking for the world. Just do your job.
Let's do it properly.
What is your take on the music I've been swearing after a bit, the game as well?
I actually don't mind it because it tends to be that they mirror some of what the fans sing, don't they? So you're rocking all over the world, and you get your salt and pepper. I don't mind that because they're emulating what the fans have been doing, and it's a bit of a laugh. But that's after the game, especially if
it
won.
For me, if it were me, can we not shorten them? Do the intros, do it a little bit, but we're having to listen to the whole Status Quo song, or the whole fucking Salt and Pepper song. It's just like,
I get that.
Just play a bit, you know. Because it kind of ruins it when the players are walking off and you want to sing little individual songs for them. You can't because you've got fucking Status Quo.
With their three cards.
We could have... You know, a lot worse songs than we've got, lads. It could be a lot worse. Like, you know, Status Quo, it's all right. Like, it's not a bad song. Salt and Pepper.
Whoa. I need to address what Scooby said here. You blaming atmosphere on stadium music choice? Absolutely not. No. The time away from the seats is bookended by Matching On Together. People know that they need to finish up the pint and get back to the seat when Matching On Together starts. That's
what
I'm
saying.
Where
you got that from? Come on, Scooby, screw your head on, man.
Come on.
I might not have made my point particularly well because tonight has so far been sponsored by Madry and by a pint of Guinness and is now being sponsored by a litre bottle of Moretti. So, you know,
excellent choice. Excellent nice. Choice. I am on the Orange Tango now because I've done with my a cup of Yorkshire's finest.
Too hard for me, that stuff.
Rock and roll.
Badger Bookie? Golden champion.
That looked like a bottle of Bookie before you turned.
Bottle of Badger. Is that?
Did it put the fear
Badger? Looks
like guinea.
Bloody Paddington. Looks like Paddington in front of your bottle there.
Looks like
marmalade sandwiches, mom.
It's a rat though.
Oh yeah, nice.
It's a rat. Why isn't it a badger?
I don't know. It looks like a rat.
What's your USP? Well, we're called Badger, but we've got a picture of a rat on the bottle.
Hang on, just put it back up as well. Is it wearing a shell suit?
Christ. A rat in a shell suit. He's a scouse rat.
He's even got the headband.
Full time, Man City are beating Brentford. So all you need is two Rotherham goals now.
Oh, he's cashed out. That'll just wreck his head.
Is that Leicester? No, it can't be Leicester. Is that Ipswich, I meant? Hang on.
Don't.
Oh, no, it's not. It's Crawley. Crawley are beating Wimbledon.
So, lads, shall we move on to predictions, Gilly, for... The game.
Yes. Fire away, pal. Get us in with some intros and we'll get on it.
That's sound, man. No worries. I'm in the... Just press the private chat there. That was no good. I've been all right so far tonight.
Auto no better predictions.
There you go. So, right. From 3, 2, 1, first fan in.
Oh, CB. Straight off the bat, CB.
Bosh.
CB.
2-0 leads. Clean sheet. I'll take that.
Absolutely. So, Gilly, you're top, so you go first.
Yeah, that's a good point, isn't it?
No, isn't it?
Well, I think it's going to be closer than that, but I do think we're going to win. And I want us to beat that Villa 10 wins on the spin in the league. But I do think it's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be a good game, not particularly high scoring, but I'm going 2-1 Leeds. Marty, you're next out of the three of us.
That's what I were going to go. I'm going to go 2-1 Leeds as well. I know our Welsh friend over here, Colin, he's gone 2-1 Leeds. There's quite some good scores in there, actually. Jay's gone 3-1, by the way. I don't know if you've seen it. And...
Ben's in the comments. He's gone 2-1 Leeds. He's joint with you.
Shit house. Fuck off, Brent. Go 1-0 or something.
It's all about tactical.
No, I'm fine. You all going too. But if you all go the same as I do for the rest of the season, I'm going to win. That's fine.
Fucking. Can't be having that.
I'm going to go 3-1.
Russ 3-1. Come on, Russ. What's he been chuffing doing down in Rov?
6-0
leads.
Do you know what? I'm going to be devastated if it's 3-1 because all of them 3-0s that we had, I was 3-1 every time.
I was saying. I've
pinched to go 2-1, so it's going to be 3-1, isn't it?
Yeah. It's got
to
be.
I'm going 2-0. I'm changing mine to 2-0. I
am nope, too late.
Hey! Too late. Nah, come on. I can't be same as Beej.
It's locked in.
Oh, piss off, man. You're locked in. Shit.
Funnily enough, it's called Badger Brewery. It was given to me as a gift.
I'll make an exception for you this time if you're desperate to go 2-0.
2-0, please, because it's getting to the nitty-gritty and Beej is a shithouse. What do you mean I did say it first, you cabbage? You're watching us on Chuffing Line, you dipstick. I said it first. What's he, honestly? Sat there in his bloody Ivy's vest and his underpants on the couch. Cats, honest, whatever. Doing nasty things.
He might still be awake. Oh yeah, no. He might be fettling some zombies. You don't know.
Yeah. He's fettling some. I can tell you.
Anyway,
right, back to you, Carl.
On that note, we've just got an announcement. Our good buddies over at Andy's Man Club have sent us over a list of stuff that's going on over the next couple of weeks. Please be bigger. There you go.
That's what she said.
That's not the first time he said that either, is it?
It even says absolute pleasure at bottom.
Forgot to fucking hit send, didn't I?
What are you fucking? There's a graphic above it. Oh, honestly, can't get staff, can you?
No, you can't, man.
Gilly even offered to do it for you. No, no, I fucking do it now.
If I don't learn how to do it, I'm not going to do it.
So, get to shite with your fucking earphones and whatever else you've been fucking around with. And it cracks on. And look at fucking state of that. It's all right, chuffing dog's dinner, is that, innit?
Bless him.
Sorry, mate.
Christ. Anyway, Friday 23rd, pool night at Northern Snooker.
Who's this?
Pardon?
It's West Brom. Oh, they fucked it. It's West Brom, Plymouth. It's fine. Go on, carry on. Sorry.
All right, Friday 23rd, pool night at Northern Snooker, starting at 6:30 p.m. We'll be on the tables upstairs. We do ask for a small donation to the tables, but this is not essential. Sunday 25th, Barber Club at WTU Barbers on Easterly Road from 11 to 3. Come down and get your hair cut, have a chat, with all the proceeds going to Andy's Man Club. And then finally, on Sunday 3rd of March, walk and talk at Roundhay Park, meeting outside Lakeside Cafe for 11 p.m. Short walk round and up to the mansion for a coffee afterwards. So anyone that feels like they might want to just have a chat with someone that they don't necessarily know, because sometimes it's easier to talk to people you don't know because they won't judge you. They're just sitting there listening. Go and give it a
lash. Carl. No, it's an important subject. Sorry, Carl. I didn't mean to do that.
It better not be that important. Like, money that's important.
Right.
No. I meant what Carl's saying is important.
All right.
Anyway, yeah, just go and have a chat with someone. Like, the game of pool, the pretty good pool tables, to be fair, up at Northern Snooker.
Yeah, I can't imagine any of the people watching us or listening to us beyond that are going to be doing that on Friday night, I'll be honest.
No.
We've got stuff on Friday night. It's the Leicester game.
not everyone's a football fan. But yeah, the people
but most of the people
probably
that watch us are.
Yeah,
that is very true. So, but yeah, get out for a walk on Sunday then. Go and get your hair cut.
Get out of your pits and go and get bloody working. Get your boots on. Johnny has made me shit my pants.
No, that's what I made that noise at. I just watched that on the. I've got Sky Go on my phone.
I swear to God, if they equalise now.
Just watch the replay.
Did you have that down for a draw, did you?
I had Rotherham and Ipswich to draw. Hull to beat
Southampton. Oh, did you?
Come on,
Hull to beat Southampton. And, and Man City to beat Brentford. Tenner on £500 back.
Wow.
And I cashed out for £10.50. Made 50p. So.
I bet you feel a
from £10
now.
Off a tenner, if Ipswich fail and Rotherham score now, I will smash my laptop over my knee. I swear to God.
That'd anyway. Be like Jimmy closing off on a pod, like, except
see you later, lads.
See you later, lads. So, lads, have we any other business now before we finish up?
Just a quick one. So the Leeds South and East Food Bank have tweeted today. So they're going to be back from 5:45 in the usual spot. Which, if you don't already know, there is a I don't know if it's falafel or meatballs or so. There's some that's falafel? Not just a standard burger van beyond the East Stand on that road bit. It's like a rolled hummus type thing. It's chickpea rolled in.
Stuff
it's is it Lebanese? It's Mediterranean. It's somewhere around there.
Some healthy shite then.
Yeah. Well, it's all right. It's deep fried. It's deep
people
fried,
like so it's eating rabbit food, don't they? But fuck.
No, it's deep fried, so it's not that healthy. But people, you know, if you cover it in garlic mayo, it's fine. But if you eat it with salad, then you're just eating rabbit food.
Or you could just not eat it at all.
You could not eat it all, that's true. But next to that is where the food bank rocks up. So it's beyond the East Stand.
Yeah.
And what they are looking for is... Stop it. Let me just finish and then we can talk about it. What they're looking for is tinned potatoes, pasta sauce, curry sauce, biscuits, shower gel, squash or juice, cooking sauces, tinned potatoes, tinned tomatoes and custard. Those are the things that they would like. So that they can
bloody hell, custard, a bit of custard.
Do you know what? They are all volunteers and they are all superstars. They're always dead happy. They're always really smiley and you know, they're just really nice people and they are there, come rain or shine, freezing cold. You know, it don't matter what's going on. They're there. So big up to the Leeds South and East Food Bank because what you do is ace.
Fair play to them.
Yeah, fair dues. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well done.
Absolutely brilliant. Lads, we'll leave it there. Thanks for...
Southampton have scored. 88th minute.
2-1.
2-1. 88th minute. So.
If they got another one, but...
Thanks for
joining us tonight.
Feed them absolute rice, absolutely. In fact, feed them rice, and then whatever you've got left, get it to the food bank. How's that?
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that works.
Sweet. Lads, nice one. I'll probably see you for a pint on Friday, yeah?
You certainly shall,
I think
we'll
be about somewhere.
Well, I'm sure you'll see us for about 5 seconds. All right, lads, I'll be back in 40 minutes. And then we won't see you for an hour.
That didn't happen last time.
Because you're going to spend some time with your real friends, weren't you, Cal? Shithouse. Anyway,
forced to be married. Like, I don't know what that's like. So you'll have to fill me in.
You
lads.
Said you'd come and have a beer with me after a game, and you've left with your friends. I'm not seeing you. Anyway, you do you, mate.
Anyway, Smarty's got issues. Matt, thanks for joining us. We'll see you all Friday night.
See you.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the independent Leeds United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke aftermatch podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.